Welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program, and Department of Veteran Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now the host of Minnesota Military Radio Hour, Tom Lyons.
Good morning from Kuwait. It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon here, about 75 degrees, partly sunny and hazy. There's always a dust and dirt in the air. We are live from Camp Virginia, Kuwait, embedded with Minnesota National Guard's 1st Brigade Combat Team, 34th Red Bull Infantry Division. My special guest today is Colonel Eric Kurska, who is the commander of the 1st Brigade Combat Team. We'll be visiting with him in a moment, but first, on this Veterans Day weekend, we have a message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
This last Veterans Day, I hope you pause to remember those who served our state and nation. Veterans Day sprung from World War I, the Great War, the war to end all wars. It shook the nations of the world for 4 years, claiming over 20 million lives. The armistice was signed on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month. Since then, nations commemorate that event with a moment of silence. It once was a celebration of the silencing of the cannons of World War I. Now it marks a day when nations around the world pause in a moment of silence with solemn pride in remembrance of the heroism of those who have served, those who are currently serving, and those who died in our country's service. We don't mark this day each year as a celebration of victory, but rather as a celebration of those who made victory possible. It's a day we keep in our minds the brave men and women of this young nation, generations of them who above all else believed in and fought for a set of ideals. And in this time of persistent conflict, for the better part of a decade, they have endured tour after tour in distant and difficult places. They have protected us from danger, and they have given others the opportunity for a better life. So to all of them, to this day's veterans, to the fallen, and to their families, there is no tribute, no commemoration, no praise that can truly match the magnitude of your sacrifice and service. We can but offer a humble moment of silence. Thank you, veterans.
Thank you, General Nash. Joining us now is the USO at Camp Virginia, Kuwait, is my special guest for the commander of the 1st Brigade Combat Team, Colonel Eric Kurska. Colonel, welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. It's good to see somebody from back home visiting us here in Kuwait.
The last time I saw you, Colonel, we were up at Camp Ripley out by the firing fields where your troops were qualifying for coming over here.
That seems like a long time ago, Tom.
Last May. How long have you been here, and what's the mission, and what kind of shape are our soldiers in?
Well, most soldiers have been here roughly 4 months now. We've been in charge of the mission for over 90 days. We got a diverse mission here, 4,100 soldiers, 2,700 from Minnesota, the rest from primarily Oklahoma, Mississippi, and Tennessee. Got a big mission, a diverse mission, three separate and distinct missions. We've got base management here in Kuwait. We've got regional reaction forces for the whole region, and then we've got convoy escort, which gets most of the attention right now with the retrograde out of Iraq.
Colonel, when I talked to you from Fort McCoy, you were training up well with the U.S. Army. You were pretty proud of your soldiers. How did it turn out when you got over here the first 3 months? Are they picking up speed quick?
Oh, absolutely. We learned some lessons last time, and fortunately we've got, you know, about 40% of the formation has been there, done that, got the T-shirt. We've been done this before. So a lot of the hard lessons learned that many units have to face, I think we avoided those with the experience we have here. So we focused on the items that we anticipated would give us trouble. We had focused on them at Fort McCoy, and I think it paid off pretty well.
And Colonel, convoy security, everyone back home was talking about the president was on the air a few weeks ago and announced for sure, it sounded like, that we had to be out of Iraq by the end of the year. How has that affected your mission, and how are the convoys going, convoy security?
It's made it a intense place to be these last couple months. It's very hectic. The soldiers are working very hard. We're in a little while. We'll talk to one of the convoy battalion commanders and sergeant major. They can give you the specifics. But, you know, the brigade already in 90 days has logged 1.4 million miles of vehicle travel. 1,000 missions under our belt. They're working very hard, harder than the convoy unit's done it for many years.
And everything's been operated safely so far, sir?
We have been very safe. We've had a few injuries. We've had a wounded in action, but not severe. The guys are staying safe, and that doesn't happen by accident. It's the leaders at every level doing their job and protecting the soldiers from themselves, which is what I like to say. So it's hard work, but it doesn't go unnoticed.
This is the Minnesota Military Radio Hour on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. We're broadcasting live today just outside the USO tent from Camp Virginia, Kuwait. Colonel, our Minnesota Red Bulls, are they spread across one or more camps here?
Yeah, we're everywhere. Everywhere the United States has a soldier in Kuwait, we have them. We're responsible for the base management for all the camps here in Kuwait, so we're spread out pretty good.
And in addition, I saw an announcement recently and some things on the 1st Brigade Combat Team's website that you're developing a rapid reaction force and training up for that. Can you tell us about it?
Correct. Yep. We've got a task to provide forces to react to protect U.S. interests throughout the region, whatever that might be. So it's a kind of an open-ended mission. So we have to train on all the tasks, which makes it a challenge. But we've got world-class ranges here. We've got all the right equipment. We've got the ammunition. So we're training hard for that, to react to whatever the national leaders, if anything pops up.
Colonel, I understand your Red Bulls are putting in long days. They're doing a good job. They get a few days off every once in a while to rest up?
Most get a day off once in a while. Some of them work shifts, which as people can imagine, a lot of people back home are used to shift work, but they usually get a weekend off, where our guys don't. It's a constant seven-day grind. But there are days off. We periodically try to get people some time off so they can get their clothes washed and ride the camel or do something different to break it up.
Call home and talk to their families.
Yeah, that's extremely easy. The world has made some great strides in that in the last 20 years, from waiting 8 weeks to a letter to now you can get on your computer and see your family's face in about 2 minutes' time. You know, you can just log right on. It's pretty nice.
And we've seen a steady flow of soldiers in and out of the USO tent using the computers and the telephones and watching movies and drinking water.
That's correct. Yeah, they can stay in close contact. It's very nice that way.
Colonel, I also understand you're planning some joint training exercises with the Kuwaiti National Guard, and I saw a little video on your website about that.
Yeah, we're excited about that. We went down and met with the Kuwaitis a few weeks ago, and they showed us all their equipment. They showed us their training plans, talked to us about things that they would like help with, and we talked to them with stuff that we wanted some help with, and I think between the two of us, we can make a pretty good deal there.
So, Colonel, now that you've been on the ground for a while, what's the next step? Are they calling on you to take the lead in some operations?
Well, we're often called upon to help. We've turned into a kind of the go-to brigade, it seems like, over here. Every time they've got something that needs to be done, they turn to us and we get her done. You know, we've got some uncertain times ahead of us, but we'll take it one day at a time. We're going to get through this retrograde out of Iraq, and we're going to do that safely and get that accomplished and then move on to whatever's next.
Colonel, we haven't talked about it too much yet, but base management was the other leg of your mission over here. Does that involve security for the base and management and logistics and those type of things?
Correct. It's each base is a little different on what's required from the brigade, but it's very complicated, as you might imagine. You know, we're in a desert environment, and somebody has to provide the lighting and the food and the water and the sanitation and where people sleep. It's a big operation. It's behind the scenes. Those are the unsung heroes of this whole deployment.
And we're going to talk about those logistics in the next segment coming up. But, Colonel, can you tell the audience what kind of temperature ranges have you experienced since you've been here?
Well, we got here the worst possible time of the year. They tell me it was up near 135 when we got here during the day, and it sure felt like it. And on the days when the wind came off the ocean, it was really humid to go along with it. I didn't know they had humidity over here, but they do. So now it's moderated quite a bit. It's actually pretty pleasant temperatures now. But when it gets down to the 50s at night, I'm finding that I get a little bit cold.
a little cold. And back home, they were getting ready for some snow, and I came over here, and I thought it was comfortable. But I did feel 56 degrees the other night, and they're right. It's cold in the
desert. It is cold at night.
Colonel, coming up segment, Major Jerry Gunn is going to join us. We're going to talk about some logistics. We're broadcasting from the just outside the USO tent at Camp Virginia, Kuwait. We have to take a short break. This is the Minnesota Military Radio Hour on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. First to fight for the right and to build a nation. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio Hour. We're broadcasting live from just outside the USO tent at Camp Virginia in Kuwait. My special guest for the hour is Colonel Eric Kirsta, the commander of the 1st Brigade Combat Team. And joining us for this segment is Major Jerry Gunn, who is the logistics officer for the 134th Brigade Support Battalion. Major, welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you for having me on.
Major, it's got to be a real task to pick up 2,700 Minnesota soldiers, move them halfway around the world, and then take care of them.
It surely is. And we had a lot of logistics officers who also contributed. You know, some good friends of mine that I've served with in the past, and some new friends that I've made all over here. But you're right, Tom. Moving all the equipment and all the soldiers over here is quite a feat that takes months of planning.
And in addition to taking care of our Red Bulls over here, you've got a lot of other soldiers coming out of Iraq that pass through that you have to take care of as well. Is that right?
That's true. We have, Colonel Kurska had said, we have 4,100 soldiers that our brigade is in charge of. But here at Camp Virginia, we're also the hub of all the soldiers coming out of Iraq who are going back home.
I can't imagine, Colonel Kurska, you were talking about 130 degrees. How much water do soldiers drink in a day? That's got to be just a huge number.
It's an enormous amount of water that we go through. Even just here at Camp Virginia, we're seeing about four times the amount of water that we deliver. So we have tens of thousands of gallons of water delivered every day to just this one camp.
And when it's very hot, you must have somebody just working on putting water around the camp.
That's all we do. We have a section here of our soldiers that just deliver bottled water to all the different sites here on camp. And it's for soldiers and sailors and the contractors that work here on camp as well.
So, Major, 130 degrees. You're running convoys all day, every day. You've got heat and sand and sun and soldiers and everybody to take care of. That's got to be just, I can't imagine how complicated that is.
Yeah, it's when we start to look at the convoys, it's taking care of the vehicle as well as taking care of the soldiers and making sure that the soldiers have everything they need while they're doing their convoy missions. And then looking at the vehicle and what are the stresses on the vehicle as well. What do the soldiers need to do to the vehicle to keep it running during their mission, as well as when that vehicle comes back, what needs to happen to it to get it ready for the next mission.
So on any given day, how many vehicles are out of action? Are most of them good to go?
Actually, yeah, we have a great maintenance program here with the battalions that we have got fantastic maintainers, and we have a operational readiness rate of about 99% right now, and that's all internal. We farm out very few of our vehicles to a higher level support. We take care of all of our own vehicles, and I couldn't be happier with the level of maintenance that this brigade has.
And Tom, just to expand on, you know, he said 99% operational readiness rate, and for the folks back home, they don't really know what that means. That means there's only 1% of these trucks are broke down at any given time. And when you're talking, you know, 500 Caymans on the road up north, the nation is depending on us to get this stuff out of Iraq. We can't afford to have these vehicles broken. So between the crews and the maintainers, somehow they're keeping them on the road. And 1.4 million miles, you know, you just can't keep these things on the road by themselves. It takes a lot of work.
Colonel, how do you keep the troops cool at 130 degrees when they're out on convoy? I mean, they must just be sweating.
You don't, really. You don't. There's really nothing you can do.
Keep them hydrated.
Right.
Keep them going.
Drink lots of water.
Exactly. Major, what all is involved here? I see fuel and equipment and water and food and ammunition, and everywhere you look, 2,700 soldiers. If a family just thinks of the things they go through in a day.
Oh, exactly.
This has got to be just an enormous undertaking.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things that we have to think about is, you know, if you think about what you do at home, you eat, you go to the bathroom, you shower, you sleep. Those are all the things that we have to do. Provide mail, give some entertainment. You know, we have entertainment here tonight. Anything that the soldier needs to live, survive, mentally keep themselves acute and even keeled, if you will, you know, so that they don't get too stressed out about what's going on in their own mission. That's what we have to provide, and we're lucky enough to have some great contractors that we work with that assist with that. And then I've got a great team, and I know the other camps have a great team to take care of our soldiers.
This is the Minnesota Military Radio Hour, live from Camp Virginia, Kuwait. And our special guest today is Colonel Eric Kerska, commander of the 1st Brigade Combat Team. And we're talking with Major Jerry Gunn, the logistics officer from the 134th Brigade Support Battalion. It must be, I don't know what order. You've got to do everything all at once, Colonel, but you've got to make sure your soldiers are in great shape. And then you got to make sure all your equipment's in good shape. And then it's got to be just... You must be busy 24/7, Colonel.
Oh, it's not so bad for me. Everybody, don't feel sorry for me. I've got great leaders. There's a bunch of them sitting right here at the table, and you know, it's like any other organization. You got to have the leaders at every level that are taking care of their small piece of the pie for this big machine to keep working.
And it is a big machine from what I've seen, and your soldiers look like they're in pretty good shape. Major, what's your biggest challenge been? Has it been the heat in the sand?
I'd say no, not actually. Our maintenance guys and the KET guys have been able to keep the convoy guys have been able to keep the vehicles and themselves in really good shape. You know, we came prepared. Some of the biggest hurdles that we've had to deal with is moving pieces of who supports us, where are they going to be. With the drawdown up north, there's also a drawdown down here in Kuwait as well, and things are consolidating to make a smaller footprint. And as those pieces change, we've had to adjust on who supports us, because we can't do everything. And so we have to look for other people to help us. And as they consolidate onto different bases, we have to kind of adjust the way we do business and keep our convoys going as strong as ever and stronger now with the drawdown.
Everybody laughs about Minnesota Nice, but it's all about building relationships. You know, the chain of command isn't efficient enough to handle this fast-moving process. It's the relationships these guys make with the unit on the right and the left that really grease the skids and make this the work.
And Major, I've seen there are some contractors on base, too. You must be working with some local contractors to help augment.
Absolutely. We have three or four primary contractors that work on this base. They do some work on the other bases as well. And without their support, providing us with cooks in our dining facility, taking care of our latrines and our showers, and delivering the bulk water. Without their support, it would be almost unbearable to live here. But with their support, we're able to support. Right now, we have almost 8,000 people on this camp that we're supporting at any given time, and they're an essential part of that.
So you're not only taking care of the military portion of it, but you're coordinating the contractors that help augment those services.
Exactly.
We've seen the buses leaving at night when they're going at home. There must be a pretty good pile of them.
Oh, yeah, there are. We have over 1,000 contractors that work on this base alone.
Have you had any big successes? Anything surprised you?
Nothing's really surprised me. I think if I look at just our 1st Brigade here, one of our big successes is just keeping all those vehicles up and running. And going back to what Colonel Kerska said, is building those relationships and trying to adjust those relationships to keep our vehicles and our soldiers as prepared as possible. And it's been getting very interesting as things downsize. And keeping that operational readiness rate as high as we have has been a great success for us.
Major, I'm sure you've got ways to know this, but how do you know when soldiers have received the support they need? How do you know when they've got everything they need?
Well,
are they a little vocal occasionally?
Yes, and that's the one nice thing about soldiers is when things are going nice, you know, there's a fair number that will come out and tell you, hey, thank you, you know, this is great, we got what we needed. Just like soldiers will also let you know when things aren't going well. But those are the type of things as a logistician we need to hear. You know, I need to know when things are going well as when they're not.
So you can react to them and keep everything running.
Exactly.
Colonel, it strikes me that all that training you did for a year or more before you came over here and then up at Camp Ripley and Fort McCoy, it's really paid off, hasn't it?
It has paid off. The brigade is doing great. People back home should be very proud of their soldiers over here.
Gentlemen, we're going to have to take a short break. When we return, we'll come back with Lieutenant Colonel Brian Melton from the 1st Battalion, 194th Armor, and we'll talk about some of those convoys. Please stay with us. This is the Minnesota Military Radio Hour, live from Camp Virginia, Kuwait, on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour from just outside the USO tent at Camp Virginia, Kuwait. My special guest for the hour today is Colonel Eric Krista, the commander of the 1st Brigade Combat Team. And our new guest joining us right now is Lieutenant Colonel Brian Melton, who is the commander of the 1st Battalion, 194th Armor. Colonel, welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks for being here at Camp Virginia.
Can you tell us what your part of the mission is here, working with Colonel Krista, of course?
I sure can. We've heard about the convoy security mission. We're the one of the primary battalions providing that security, so our job is just to work with the logistics units that are providing the trucks and working to get the either sustainment convoys up to bring supplies up into Iraq, or the units that are working to bring different equipment back out of Iraq. We provide security to them. So we're working to provide trucks and armament to those convoys to make sure they don't get attacked, and if they do, then we're working to repel those attacks and working to make sure we defeat IEDs and find them so that they don't blow up or harm any of the convoys that are out there.
Now, Colonel, is this are these short missions, one day, or are they longer than that, or are they a combination of both? I suppose it depends on who you're picking up and escorting out.
It kind of depends, but the majority of them are longer. There are some that might be 2 or 3 days, but they can go up to as many as 13 days, and so you're out on the road for a long period of time, and you're going from base to base to make sure that those trucks are secure and that they get there both in a timely manner and a secure manner. So it can be some long days, some long weeks. Sometimes the guys might be out on the road for up to 12-14 hours. I was just out on a convoy. We were about 12 hours driving on the road, and once you get to a base, it's nice to get to a place to be able to bed down for a while, and then they keep offloading or unloading equipment, and then we move on to the next spot.
Now, once those convoys get moving, they keep moving, don't they?
Absolutely. There's not a I was telling my wife the other day, there's no real rest stops in Iraq. It's not like when we drive, I live in Moorhead and I'll drive down to the Twin Cities, but it's not the same. When we're moving, we keep going until we get to the next base and make sure we're secure.
No rest stops every 2 hours.
It's not like that. That's right.
Now, when they go out for 3, 4, 5 days, are they self-contained? Do you bring lots of water? Do you bring, I mean, there must be another logistics problem, fuel? And
we do. I mean, all those things are things we have to consider. We have to make sure we have fuel to help if we have to stop at any point, fuel ourselves. But there are those support pieces at the bases. But that's a concern and something we are constantly working on now with the retrograde. As we keep going, bases, more and more bases are shutting down, so we have to support ourselves. So some of those places are becoming much more austere, where we bring our own cots. We might be even sleeping outside. It may not be the same. I know we're going to talk later about the chow halls here, and they're pretty nice, and they're pretty good up in Iraq too. But when those close down, it's MREs and the things that we bring with us on the MRAPs and in the Caymans.
So Pop-Tarts.
Pop-Tarts and candy bars, I guess. But so there's a little bit of everything. Yeah, you have to support yourselves. But that's okay. That's why we're an infantry and armor unit. We expect that, and we're ready for that, and the guys are very well prepared to be able to handle those kind of things without any problem.
We sampled some MREs when we were up at Camp Ripley, and they're
pretty
lot,
tasty, aren't they?
A lot better than the stuff we had in Vietnam.
Well, that's true, too. I know that they're better than the old Seagrass, that's for sure.
After 8 years in Iraq, there must be just a ton of equipment to get out of there.
There is more equipment than you can probably imagine. There are a lot of, I mean, that's why we use both Army convoys and logistics that are bringing out tanks, Bradleys, all different Army equipment, and then all the Connexes that are just filled with a lot of different equipment that we have to bring back, whether it's, I mean, anything from computers and televisions to kitchen equipment that have been in those DFACs or the dining facilities and those kind of things. So it's just a lot of equipment that needs to be pulled out, and we are moving every single day and doing a lot of work, but the guys are keeping up well.
We're speaking to Lieutenant Colonel Brian Melton along with Colonel Eric Krista on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour at Camp Virginia, Kuwait, on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Colonel, President Obama, we mentioned earlier, announced a few weeks ago that December 31st is kind of a set date, have to be done by then. Has that changed your mission? Has it speeded it up? Has it altered it in any way?
It's, I would say, just as Colonel Krista said earlier, it's made things much more dynamic. We are moving a lot of equipment. Everything kind of ratcheted up even more. We thought maybe some equipment would stay, some soldiers would stay, but the fact that when they said everything's going out, then we're pulling everything out. So we're moving fast and furious. We you know, get a convoy out, and when they get back, they get a couple days rest and make sure what we talked about earlier, get their maintenance done, make sure that their trucks are running well, so when they can move back out there, and then they get back out on the road again. So everybody is very busy. It's a busy time here through the till the end of December.
I'll bet it is. Colonel, you and I were talking, I think it was yesterday, about when we closed down Cameron Bay in 1972, the last 30 days got a little intense because you didn't know who's on your side and who wasn't. I'm sure you're being extraordinarily careful between now and the end of the year on these convoys.
We are. Our number one priority is to get the mission done and bring everybody out, get everybody home. And we don't know what the last 30 days are going to look like, so we're prepared. We're prepared for the worst and hopeful that it's going to go just smooth like it has been.
And we said so far there's been even a little bit of trouble with some IEDs, but all your soldiers are alive and well.
Yep, the training has paid off. We deal with IEDs very well. This brigade is very talented at it. We found our second one the other day, which is not very common for a convoy escort unit to do. And I expect that number will continue to climb as the guys get more and more experienced. This convoy life is hard. It's a hard life. They don't have great living conditions. It's long, uncomfortable hours wearing the body armor and the helmets, and you can't even have a drink of water when you want to because there's not going to be a bathroom stop. So I mean, it's a hard life. But what's interesting is the soldiers, for whatever reason, they get into it and they really enjoy it. We jokingly call it the trucker's life. They, you know, when you talk to them back here, how you doing, da, 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 you know, everything going all right, and every single one I've ever talked to, I just want to go out again. So there's no explaining it, but they love it.
They're doing it. Colonel, any final comments on the convoy security?
Nope. I think that sums it up pretty well. It's very true. They like what they're doing. They enjoy their job, and they do it well. They've been doing an excellent job, and they're going to continue to do it all the way through to the end of the mission.
Chomping at the bit, well-trained, ready to go, and doing it safely.
Absolutely.
All right, great. Thanks for joining us, Colonel.
Great to be here. Thanks, Tom.
This is the Minnesota Military Radio Hour, live from Camp Virginia, Kuwait. We have to take a short break. We'll be back shortly on News Talk, AM 1130. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio, live from Camp Virginia, Kuwait. We have to take a little short message here from the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Larry Shelido.
Today's show is a vivid reminder of the war we are fighting and our Minnesota brothers and sisters who are currently in harm's way. It's easy for us to get caught up in our daily lives. For more than 3,000 Minnesotans who are currently serving overseas, war is their reality. Our military is a volunteer force, but the families are drafted. It's important that we remember and acknowledge the sacrifices made by spouses and children back home. I salute our military members, and I salute our military families. Thank you all for your service to this country.
Colonel Kerska, thank you, Commissioner Shelido. Colonel Kerska, it's an important message, and it reminds me that you and your soldiers have to be focused on the mission while you're here, and we've talked about that during the show today. How important is it to your soldiers that the family readiness groups, Family Assistance Center, the L Ribbon communities, organizations such as the Minnesota Military Family Foundation are there to help the families back home?
Well, everybody here has got a big job to do, a difficult job, a dangerous job, a challenging job, and the worst thing that can happen to us over here is to worry about what's going on at home. Every time there's a problem at home, it happens to me, it happens to all of us. We really need somebody back there that's willing to step up and fill in where we can't. And that's why we need those folks, and they're doing a great job to minimize that anxiousness that comes with wondering how things are going back home.
And Colonel, we're joined now by Command Sergeant Major John Lepowski from the 1st Battalion, 194th Armor. Sergeant Major, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, Tom.
How do your soldiers feel about those organizations back home? They have to be pretty positive about it, aren't they?
They definitely are. The amount of support that we receive from our families, our friends, our communities is phenomenal. Without their support, they couldn't go out and do the job that they're called to do. It makes their job, their life here so much better with what they do for us and our families.
And they're working hard here, but they're also preparing to go home. And part of that going home is, for some of them, finding jobs when they go home.
That is true.
And I understand to help with some of that you build an education center here at Camp Virginia.
Yes, I have.
Can you tell us about that?
Yes. We have put together a center where we have a half a dozen computers that the soldiers can use to check email, contact family back home, and also use to further their education. They use that for both the military education and their civilian side. To date, since September 1st, we've had over 1,500 soldiers use the center, like I say, to contact back home. They use it extensively for their military education, and a lot of soldiers are using it to stay online with their civilian education.
Sergeant Major, technology's changed a lot in the last 40 years. If there was a problem when I was in Vietnam, families would notify the Red Cross, and we might find out about it 6 weeks later. But today, they find out about things right now, don't they?
Yes, they do. With the phone network that we have, with Skype, with Facebook, and things like that, they are able to stay very well connected with their families.
And when they do get a little time off, and you know, washing their clothes and taking care of themselves and haircuts and so forth, there's recreation facilities, there's the USO, and there's your education center. They're really making good use of the time, aren't they?
Yes, they are. You know, a lot of soldiers, they spend a lot of their time working out, participating in the 5K runs that they have here. They have basketball set up. They have volleyball leagues set up, softball leagues, horseshoes, you name it. They've got it here. And it might be just for a short amount of time that they get to participate in those events, but you'll see them. They'll work hard during the day. At night, in their free time, they'll come out and you'll see them playing basketball, shooting some hoops, throwing some shoes, whatever it is, just to help make the time pass and blow off a little bit of steam.
And then they run and they do some 5K runs, don't they?
Yes, they do. Actually, we had three 5K runs this week. I actually got to participate in all three of them. It's very inspiring to see the amount of soldiers that do come out and participate in that.
It looks like your soldiers are in great shape here. And the facilities look like, you know, soldiers do what they do. You cut a camp out of the desert, but you made it pretty comfortable too, didn't you?
Yes, we have. You know, a success story for some of these soldiers, they have, you know, since they've been here, they work out, they train hard, and they eat right. And some soldiers have lost up to 50, 60 pounds. I mean, really, really making life changes for themselves. And it's just great to see how they've taken this time to better themselves. I challenged the soldiers and the families prior to leaving. I said, you know, I asked them, what do you plan to get out of this deployment? And I challenged them to further their military education, further their civilian education, and get back in shape and set themselves up for success for the future.
This is the Minnesota Military Radio Hour, live from Camp Virginia, Kuwait, on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. My special guest for the hour has been Colonel Eric Kurska, the commander of the 1st Brigade Combat Team, and we're speaking with Command Sergeant Major John Lepowski from the 1st Battalion, 194th Armor. Colonel, for some of our listeners back home, they might not understand what a Command Sergeant Major is. Can you tell us how important that position is?
He's a person to be reckoned with. He's the upholder of the standard. He's the one I turn to when things aren't going the way they need to go to, and I say things like, Sergeant Major, will you fix this? And that's all I have to say, and it gets fixed.
Sergeant Major, what does a Command Sergeant Major do besides fix things?
Well, I think the technical term is we are the senior enlisted advisor on all things soldier-related to the commander, but I see myself as my job is to take care of soldiers, and that doesn't matter what it takes. It's to make sure that they're living right, they're living clean, they have the facilities they need, they have the food, the water, anything they need to live and survive in the desert, but also that they have the morale type things that they need to relieve stress and have some downtime, personal time for themselves.
Sergeant Major, you've been deployed before. How does this experience differ from past deployments?
Well, my first deployment was a lot more remote. It was a good mission, and we felt like we made a difference. And now that we're here in Kuwait, you know, when we came into this, we weren't sure what to expect. But seeing the impact that we're having on on the drawdown from Iraq and into Kuwait, and seeing the resources that we're pulling out of there and we're putting back into service. We're preparing it to ship off, ship home, whatever it is, and put back into circulation. We are doing a phenomenal job, and I believe that it's a well worth mission that we have, and I can't be more proud than I am of the soldiers and the job they're doing.
Sergeant Major, there's a conception back in America that the National Guard is weekend warriors. That's what they called them 40 years ago when I got out of the Air Force and joined for a couple of years. Now we refer to you as citizen soldiers. And from what I've seen, you're fully trained. You've had 10 years of war. You've had multiple deployments, 35 countries around the world, 25,000 soldiers deployed, soldiers and airmen deployed. It's really a whole different deal today, isn't it?
Yes, it is. You know, the skills that the National Guard brings to the fight can't be emphasized enough. You know, we have doctors, lawyers, we have carpenters, welders, truck drivers, any type of civilian skill that you can think of, we bring to the fight, and we use that to help the local people. We use that to help ourselves and just make life better for ourselves. And it's good for the soldiers.
So the Minnesota National Guard troops, they have a military specialty, but they've all got their civilian specialty as well, and it might be totally different from their military specialty.
That is true.
So you're more flexible, and you have extra capabilities, I would think, and some flexibility. Is that true, sir?
It's absolutely true. The National Guard brings something to fight that the regular forces can't. They just don't have that depth of experience.
Must give you the ability to react quicker and better, and to deal with those fix it, Sergeant Major, those type of issues, doesn't it?
We've got the expert of whatever we need right within our formation. You just got to go find those guys.
That is true.
Sergeant Major, I can hear some music behind us. I think Lone Star is going to be playing tonight. You have some bands come through. You do provide some entertainment, and the soldiers do have some fun when they have some downtime. They're back from the convoy security and those things, don't they?
They do. And once they're done eating tonight, they'll come outside and be welcome to Lone Star. You'll see a lot of the soldiers will gather around and play some hoops, maybe play some volleyball, or just stand up at the stage and watch the show. It's really inspiring to have them come here.
Sergeant Major, quickly, just for the folks back home, what would you tell them about what kind of shape your Red Bull soldiers are in?
They're doing a phenomenal job. They're staying focused. They're being safe, and we'll be home soon.
Colonel, we've talked a little bit about all the support services back home, and we've talked about what kind of shape your soldiers are in. As I look around, I'm impressed. I want to thank you for the opportunity to come over here and take a look at your mission and talk to some of your soldiers. And it looks to me like everybody's healthy and they're doing a great job and they're enthused and they're in good shape. Any final thoughts for our listeners, sir?
I just want to let everybody know that I'm humbled. You know, I'm the one who was chosen to sit here because I'm the commander, but I'm humbled by these guys, what they do every day. And the folks back home can be assured that their soldiers are doing well. They're getting the mission done. Everybody's proud of them here, and you should be proud of them back home. And we will come home with our honor intact in just a short few months.
Thank you, Colonel. Thank you, Sergeant Major. We're just about out of time. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, the entire 34th Red Bull Infantry Division of the Minnesota National Guard, Colonel Eric Kurska, Major Jerry Gunn, Lieutenant Colonel Brian Melton, and Command Sergeant Major John Lepowski. Please keep our 34th Infantry Red Bulls in your hearts, thoughts, and prayers until they get home. And also, please join us next week for our pre-Thanksgiving show. That's next Sunday morning at 7 right here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. I'm Tom Lyons, embedded with the Minnesota National Guard's 1st Brigade Combat Team just outside the USO tent at Camp Virginia, Kuwait. And I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour with host Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm located in Minneapolis. He's also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force. We hope you found this program to be informative and entertaining. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veteran Affairs. Podcasts of this program are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Thanks for listening.